I am your healer. I am your deliverer. I am your peace. I am your mighty God. I am the one. I am the one. Come on, can you give Him praise this morning? Say God is good. Psalm 84, verse 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Everybody say Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Yes, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself. Where else may lay her young, even thine altars? O Lord of hosts. Everybody say Lord of hosts. My King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is a man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts. Everybody say God of hosts. There it is again. Hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You see the significance here of being on God's side. And you should be excited about that if you are, you know, you're on the winning side. In every aspect of life, you're on the winning side. Here remembers you're playing sports, you know, and some of you kids are still playing, of course, and your youth pastor and you guys get out here and shoot ball and stuff. You know, back in the day, I played a lot of sports. And this is my one thing. My wife will tell you, there's one thing that I brag about. And it's when in my younger days, I could shoot a basketball. You know, now I can't. I don't shoot. But I guess I should get back to it, Ernie. And maybe I could go out here and show. You think, could we do it? Could we show these kids? No, probably not. Probably not. But, you know, I used to be able to shoot the rock, as they say. And I was confident in that, Greg, when I was younger. But, you know, when you choose up and you play, how many always wanted, is there anybody that ever wanted to be on the losing team? No, I didn't think so. Everybody always wanted to, you know, if you're choosing, you know, they say, you guys choose. Okay? You're looking at the players and you're saying, who's the best? Right? Am I right? And you're wanting to choose the winning team. You want to be on the winning team. Can I tell you again that you are on the winning team? Amen. I have read the end of the book. How many's read the end of the book? Amen. And we are the winners. I said, we are the winners. He said, I want you to be blessed on the right and blessed on the left. He said, I want you to be the head and not the tail. I want you to be the lender and not the borrower. I want you to be blessed in every area. Somebody say, I am blessed. Say, I'm too blessed. So be depressed. Hallelujah. All right, let's go on. Verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing. Woo. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Verse 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in thee. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the anointing that we feel in this place this morning. And we just ask that your word speak to your people. Let it strengthen your people today, O God. Let us see you for who you are and let it change us. We ask this in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. You know, as I said earlier, I've been gone. You guys know I've been gone for several days. And the Lord began to speak to me while I was gone. And these verses, I was downstairs, in the hotel, we were staying in. And, I, you know, I'm an early riser and I was usually the first one down there every morning waiting on the other guys to come downstairs and, you know, I was having my coffee and reading and meditating upon the Lord. And the Lord began to speak to me and to show, how many's ever been out? You've been, you know, it's still in the state of Kentucky, but I was talking to Brandon earlier. They call that the Midwest. We're still in Kentucky, but it's all flat. You know, if you didn't know, you wouldn't know you were in Kentucky because there's no mountains. And it's all flat. And have you ever seen a sunrise? Yeah. And the sun comes up and it gets daylight really early. I realize there's central time and, you know, there's an hour difference in time, but it's not just that, Ernie. It gets daylight. I mean, it's broad daylight really early. And I guess a lot of that's due in part because there's no mountains to block the sunrise. And you see that sun coming up. And I want to tell you something. I was sitting there one morning and the Lord began to speak to me. I was looking at that sunrise and the Lord began to speak to me brand new and showing me his greatness and how big he really is. And you know what? Sometimes I think we get so accustomed to the things that are around us and what we're seeing and we're, you know, I'll just go ahead and say it. We're watching too much CNN and we're watching too much Fox News and these other things. And they are defining who we are and they're defining how we think. I'm going to tell you something. It's time for us to get back into this book and let this book define who we are and let this book define who we think. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. God is still great. God is still on the throne. God is still in control. He spoke everything into existence. And when he gets ready, he's going to stop it. I said, when he gets ready, he's going to stop it. I know there's a lot of wicked stuff going on, Judy. But listen, God is still in control. When God gets ready, he's going to put a stop to it. Are you with me? He's in control. Somebody say he's in control. Woo, hallelujah. I feel like I can preach this morning. The Lord of hosts. Everybody say Lord of hosts. I began to study this, and I had studied it sometime years ago, but it came back to me again, brand new and fresh, and I was sitting in the laundromat on Sunday, this time last week, when you guys were in here worshiping and singing, I was washing clothes. I didn't have enough clothes to make the entire work week or 2 weeks. Actually, I did 2 weeks and 1 week. But so I was there at the laundry and this guy comes in, he's sitting down and it happens often, you know, when the Lord is speaking to you. And this guy, we started talking about the Lord and he said, he's the Lord of hosts. And I'm like, Lord, I think you're trying to speak something to me. You're trying to tell me something. And we had a great conversation there. This guy looked like it. He just came from church. It was in the afternoon there. And he just came from church. And we had a great conversation on how great God was. So I am here to tell you this morning how great God is. And I want that to be renewed within you. So, you know what? I'd like for you to be so excited about God that you could take on anything. I want to get you to that place where nothing will stop you. Young people, don't let anything stop you. Don't let what the world is doing, don't let anybody else define you or stop you from what God wants to do in your life. And I'm just going to speak it right now. God's going to do great things in our youth. Can you say amen? God's going to do great things in this youth group. And the church is going to be blessed as a result of it. Oh, come on, give him praise. God's getting ready to pour out his spirit. Woo! I said, God's going to pour out his spirit. Don't be surprised if some of these young people don't come and lay hands on you and you be healed in the name of Jesus. I'm looking for prophetic words. Oh, I feel the anointing. I'm looking for prophetic words to come forth, for visions to come forth. Amen. For the gifts of the spirit to be in operation, even into the smaller children. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you something. Josiah was the king at 8 years old, folks. They can operate as kings and priests in the spirit realm. Amen. Even at a younger age, somebody needs to give God praise for what's going to happen. I'm about to blow up. Come on, give him praise. He's getting ready to do great things. Woo! Judy's going to do great things. The Lord of hosts, I hope you're feeling half as good as I am. Jehovah, it means Jehovah Sabbath. And not to be confused with Sabbath. And it's often this, you know, in the Hebrew, that's the proper rendering. And it's often translated Lord of hosts. Sometimes the Bible uses Lord God of hosts or God of hosts. But altogether, you can find this, and I looked it up. It's over 270 times in the Old Testament, and it's used quite frequently. The Hebrew word for host is the Sabbath, and it's used 486 times. Now, you got to get this. Most uses have something to do with warfare, armies, or fighting. I'm going to say it again. Most uses have to do with warfare, armies, or fighting. Man, I feel I'm about to fall out up here. So it's a very important name of God's. How many knows it's important to know God's name? You know, what we're talking about God's names. Jehovah Jireh. He's my what? Jehovah Nisi, he's my what? Woo, you guys got it, don't you? Hallelujah. It's important for us to know. We could go through all of them, but I won't take the time. It's important for us to know. It's Lord of Hosts is a very important name to know. Amen. He is the Lord of Hosts. Amen. I read an article recently about an actress who continued performing in nightclubs after she claimed to be converted to Christ. And she was overheard telling someone, you ought to know God. He's just a living doll. That was the reference she made to God. You should know God. He's just a living doll. You know, you guys know, what's her name? Madonna. Madonna. She once made the statement that she thought the crucifix was sexy because it had a naked man on it. Now, I'm going to set the foundation, build a foundation here. Sometimes people will refer to God as the man upstairs. Okay? But I'm here to tell you, he's a whole lot more than any of those things. Amen. You know, the name of God, if we know the name for God, it will change how we relate to him. Amen. So we must understand, and there needs that. Will you guys agree with me? That needs to come back into the world today. I'll take it a step further. That needs to come back in the church today. Ooh, there needs to be a reverence for who God is. You know, God, you know, we understand that we build a relationship with God and we build a relationship with Christ and understand that he's our friend. You know, he's a friend that loves at all times. You know, Abraham was a friend of God. But I'm going to tell you something. God is also to be reverenced and God is on the throne and he's still in control and the world is making a mockery of who God is. They're making a mockery of who Jesus Christ is. But I'm going to tell you something. He's getting ready to show up, folks, and he's going to show people who he is. You know what? He's getting ready to reveal his power in a way that people have never seen him. Every knee, Brandon, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. No, there's not a whole lot of ways to get to God. He's the only way. Amen. Well, this is about your cue to tell me to slow down. I'm excited. All right. So what does the Lord of Hosts rule over? Jehovah Sabaoth. What does he rule over? In general, host can describe a multitude of men, an army, if you will. Or it can be talking about angels. Or it can be talking about the stars of the heavens. But the important thing that Jehovah, the important thing we need to know is that Jehovah is Lord over all hosts. Amen. Let's say it again. Say all hosts. Whether there are armies on the earth, or the stars, or the angels, he is Lord over all. Oh, hallelujah. I said, he is Lord over all. Amen. I'm going to get way ahead of myself if I'm not careful. So, if he is Lord over all, is it safe to say that he is Lord over the battles that we face? How many's ever faced any battles? How many's in a battle right now? You know, I heard one guy say, you either just come out of a battle, you're in a battle, or you're headed for a battle. You know, it's the Christian walk. I mean, we go through things. I'm not going to preach you that fluffy gospel that says when you come to Christ, you never face anything. I'm not going to lie to you. But I will agree with what Justin said this morning. I already have, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be realized. What's the scripture say? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God's going to deliver us out of them all. Woo! Come on. Blessed are you when you are persecuted. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you, even for my name's sake. Great is your reward in heaven. So, you know, we're not any better than the disciples. They persecuted him. People are going to persecute us. But guess what? Just stand your ground. You're going to come out on the winning side. You're going to come out the winner in the end. God's going to bless you. You're going to prosper. I'm speaking it right now. You're going to prosper. You're going to prosper. Get ready. Somebody hold your hand out. Say, I'm ready. Oh, the enemy don't like this. I speak up. Oh, glory. I feel it right now. I speak a blessing right now. I speak a blessing of health. I speak a blessing of prosperity. In the midst of bad economic times, God's going to bless His people. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You better believe He can. He can furnish a table in the wilderness, and we can pull up a chair, and we can sit and eat and dine with the Lord in His supper. Do you receive it? Hallelujah. So He rules over the battles we face. One of the first places this was used, well, it was used in 1 Samuel, but there's a similar reference, Jacob, in Joshua chapter 5, let's start with 13. Remember now, Joshua was leading the Jews to invade Canaan. Amen? And he obeyed God by observing the Passover, and he commanded the men to be circumcised. Now he was preparing, once you see something here, he was preparing for a major military battle. The battle at Jericho. Amen? Are you guys with me? He was preparing for a major military battle. Amen? The impressive fortress, if you will, of Jericho lay directly in front of the Jews. Before he led his troops into battle, Joshua got alone. Sometimes, folks, it's important for you to get alone when you're getting ready to face something. You know, corporate worship is wonderful. We come in and we draw strength. I don't believe in lone rangers. I don't believe in people. You know, people need to be connected to. I invited one guy to church one time. He said, well, me and Jesus just got our own thing going. You know, it'd make a good song, wouldn't it? But, you know, I believe in corporate worship. But it's important for us to get along with God. That's when He speaks to you. Chances are that's when you're going to hear the most from God. Amen? It's when, you know, that's what oftentimes it's in the middle of the night. You know, as I said earlier, God give me a dream and I'll wake up and Spirit of the Lord starts to speak to me. When I was in the hotel room in Madisonville, Judy, I sensed the Spirit of the Lord walked right into the hotel room at about 4. I woke up and I was awake. I couldn't go back to sleep. And the Lord was there and I just sensed His presence there. You know, He'll show up. He'll show up in those times. Amen. So Joshua gets alone. Look what it says. Came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and said unto him, are you for us or for our adversaries, our enemy? Keep going. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said to him, what says my Lord unto his servant? Verse 15. And the captain of the Lord's hosts said unto Joshua, loose your shoes or take off your shoes, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. So here Joshua came in direct contact with the captain of the Lord's host. And the question was not, you got to get this now, we're talking about he'll show up when we're facing battles. The question was not, is Jericho weak? The question was, will the Lord of hosts lead us in battle against Jericho? And that's what you gotta get, guys, within your spirit. Amen. It's not how strong or weak your enemy is. It's whether or not God's going to show up. And I'm here to tell you, I'm here to bring you news this morning that if you will look to Him and walk uprightly, He's going to show up in your battle. and he's going to change things. How many believes that he can show up miraculously and it looks like all things are against you, but all of a sudden the tide shifts and things turn out to go in your favor? How many's ever had God do that before? All of a sudden, you're just like, wow, where did that come from? Amen? And God shows up. Somebody said he shows up and shows off. Amen? So here we see that he was in direct contact, and he says, okay, Wanda's looking at me again. Slow down. Take off your shoes. For where you stand is holy ground. You are in the presence of the Almighty God. Just like Moses at the burning bush. Zechariah 4:6, he said, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. In one place, Ernie, in the word, David, the scripture was, you don't need to fight in this battle. Stand still. This is not your battle. This battle is the Lord's. And oftentimes, you know what we need to do oftentimes? We just need to introduce the enemy to Jesus. Amen. We need to put the fear of the Lord in him. You know what? We need to say, we need to be like Clint Eastwood and say, go ahead and make my day. Amen? Because if we really believe that God is who he is, and we believe that he is the Lord of hosts, and he is over everything, amen? So why should we fear? Why should we fret? Why should we worry? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. We shouldn't have anything to worry about. I'm telling you, don't fret, don't worry, don't get yourself. Jill, you was all over it this morning, because God is on your side. I said, God is on your side. He is with you. He said, I'll never leave you, and I will never forsake you. I'm going to be with you all the way to the end. So our focus should never be on how big our problem is. It should be on how big our God is. He's a big God. I said he's a big God. So Ephesians, Judy, 3:20. For God is, everybody say it, able. Oh, sure, y'all know that one. Come on. For God is, let's say it again. For God is to do exceedingly, oh gosh, there it is, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. All right, so can we see that he is the Lord over our battles? Jehovah Sabaoth rules, he rules over, oh, you guys got to get this. Here's a place we miss it. He rules over the unseen world. Oh, hallelujah. I said he rules over the unseen world. Sometimes, you know, it's easy for us to get focused on the things that are around us that we can see, the tangibles that we can touch. I said, I'm going to tell you something. He rules over the unseen world. Amen. Nehemiah 9:6. Put that up, Jacob. Giving you a bunch of scripture this morning. Thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and all the things that are in the seas and all that is in, and thou preserveth them all, and the host of heaven worships you. Are you guys seeing that? He is over the unseen world. Amen. Everything that we can't see, the demonic. Amen. Come on now. I said the demonic. He is over all demonic forces. Folks, the enemy can't do anything that God don't allow him to do. God's in control. He sets the bounds. He kicked Satan out. Ernie, he kicked him out. And Jesus said that the angels of heaven were at his beckon and call. You guys remember when they put Jesus on the cross? He said he could call what? 12 legions of angels. You know how many is in a legion? 6,000. So he could have said 72,000 angels, just come and get him down. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The enemy don't, you know, he don't do anything that God don't allow him to do. You see, you got to understand that was a plan already in place. Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And the Bible says if Satan knew what was going to happen, he wouldn't even have crucified Jesus. That set everything in motion, Judy. That's where the power comes to us. That's where he came down here to impart that power to us. We can operate in the same power that Jesus operated in. The same resurrection power is available to us. Oh, come on. Somebody needs to praise him now. It's available to us through the blood of Jesus. We have that power to overcome anything that the enemy can throw at us. Do you believe that? If you believe it, say amen. Now, he rules over creation. I said he rules over creation. The stars are called a host, and God created them. Isaiah 45:12. It is I who made the earth and created man upon it. I stretched out the heavens with my hands and ordained all their host. Amen. He created, and have you ever thought about creation? You know, when they're trying to bring this thing into our schools now, and they're trying to teach our kids, that there was no creation, and there's even this push out there that God, even there's some people saying that God didn't create the heavens and the earth in 6 days. I'm here to tell you, I believe he did in 6 days. The evening and the morning were the first day. Amen. And everything, he created everything and put everything into motion. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And everything has its purpose. Amen. You know, we were watching yesterday, we're talking about creation. We were watching yesterday, I had to do a wedding. I got back Thursday, had to do a wedding rehearsal Friday night, and we did a wedding last night. Alex and Andrew, you know, they came, they attended church here, they're living in Lexington now. We did their wedding last night, and at the Carlin, is that at the Carlin Mansion? Yeah, over by you guys. But anyway, we were sitting there at home, waiting to go, and Jacob had the derby on, the pre-race thing, the preliminaries, you know, for the Kentucky Derby, and you know, and they were going through all that, and they now we're talking about the Lord of Hosts. He's over everything. He's over creation. He's over all our battles. Amen. He's over everything we could face. And they were talking, you know, you guys, it rained all day. And they said the track was just so muddy and so sloppy. And they had this guy there, and he was demonstrating how the jockeys had these goggles. Some of y'all may have saw it. And they had like four sets. And they would ride, and when they hit the first turn, they would reach up and flip a set down because of the mud. You can imagine how many horses, I don't know, kicking that mud up. And you can imagine what they must have looked like. And when they got muddy, they'd flip a set down. And they'd ride until they got muddy again. They'd flip a set down. And they had like four breakaways. Like, it was so cool. They had like four breakaways for the jockeys to keep the mud out of their eyes. And then the guy said, but the horses don't have to worry because they have two eyelids. And the second eyelid keeps the mud out of their eyes. And one and I looked at each other, and we said, God knew that horses were going to be used in battle. God don't make no mistakes, guys. Woo, I don't know if y'all are getting this or not. Listen, he knew that the horses are going to be used in battle. He knew that they're going to be used in races and these kinds of things. And he gave them two eyelids. And you know, these horses go out there to battle. You know, can you imagine what it'd be like for a horse in a battle when it was raining? And you know what? And I began to sit there and think, well, it ain't going to matter if it's raining when Jesus comes back on that horse. Amen. And he's coming back in glory. Amen. It don't matter, folks. Two eyelids to keep the mud out of there. God knows what he's doing, don't it? I said, God knows what he's doing. Don't we think he can take care of our problems? Amen. I said, don't we? He can't he? Somebody say amen. Daniel, come up and help me. I'm going to try to bring this to a close. The same God who rules the vastness of the earth, you know, outer space, the stars, he takes care of us on a daily basis. What's the scripture say? He knows if one sparrow falls to the ground, he knows. The very hairs of your head are numbered. He knows. He's in control. He knows everything about us. Amen. Jacob, go to Psalm 24. It's all right. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Amen. Who is this King of glory? Do you understand that anytime you see this repeated in the scripture, there's a special significance on what the writer is saying here. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. He is the King of glory. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is above all. He is in all. He is for us. He is on our... He is on our side. We are on His team. And I'm going to tell you something. If we're on His team, we can't go wrong because He's going to do great things. And your vision just needs to expand. You need to start believing God for who He is. You need to realize that He's on your side and He's going to do great things. Come on. Is He going to do great things in our families? Is He going to do great things in Bell County, Kentucky? Is He going to do great things in this area, in the state of Kentucky, and even this nation in the world? Do you believe it? Dwayne, do you believe it? I'm ready to receive it, aren't you? You know, Juan and I are believing that we're going to see the manifest healing of our son. You know, and when that happens, we better have a big sanctuary. I'm telling you. Because they'll be standing in the yard. You know, there's not, the best that we can tell, there's not very many documented cases of a healing of autism. So that's why it's going to be, there's one. Yeah, we found one. But that's why it's going to be such a great miracle. And it's everywhere you look, Brandon, today. You know, I don't know if it's, some say it's the shots. I don't know. They blame it on a number of things. You know, I was down there at that coal company in Western Kentucky. Huge coal company. And standing in this big area, Brian, you've probably been there, I guess, and just where the guys, before they go underground in the mine, and there's all these... benches and stuff that they sit there waiting. You know, this one place where it employed 500 people, and there's just guys everywhere. But I looked over on the wall, and there was this poster, and it said, walk for autism. And so obviously I walked over. I had some of the people here, so what's this about? And they said, well, a couple of people there had a child, you know, that had been diagnosed with autism. So they did a walk, and the men raised the money, and the company matched the money, and they raised almost $9,000, you know, was raised. And I looked at this guy standing there. He's like the general manager of this huge company. And I said, you know, I have a son that's been diagnosed with autism. He said, oh, really? And he starts saying, well, you know, what's your plans, and what's his future going to be like? And I said, well, me and my wife believe that he's going to be healed. You know, we've stood by that belief, and we've never backed off of that belief. Amen? So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying the Lord of hosts is going to show up at the right time, in His time, when He gets the most glory. Dorothy's going to show up. Look, all right, I'm going to close with this. You know, I took this down in my notes, and I thought, you know, sometimes the Lord just gives me things, but, you know, I thought about what those 3 days were like, you know, when Christ was crucified. And they're all there, you know, the Bible says, you know, some refer to this place as Abraham's bosom and the place that they went. But I could just see Moses looking at all of these men and saying, take heart, brothers. I wrote to you that he would come and bruise the serpent's head. Amen. He said, I also wrote, the Lord your God will raise you up for a prophet like me among my own brothers. You got to listen to him. Amen. So hang on. He's coming. I'm going to give a word of encouragement. I'm going to say it again. Hang on. He's coming. And then maybe after Moses sat down, the others started to testify. And I could just see Jesus maybe standing there just ready to make his appearance, Ernie. Because the Bible says he went, didn't he? And preached to the captives. He went and preached to those that were in waiting. Amen. Because they weren't under the atonement. Are you with me? Are you with me? And I could hear Abel say, I'm waiting for the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I could hear Abraham say, I'm looking for the one who is my shield and my great reward. I'm still looking for the city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. I could hear Daniel say, one day I was thrown into the lion's den, but I want to see the one that shut the mouths of the lions. And they never harmed me. Amen. I could hear Shadrach say, you know, this wicked king threw us into the fiery furnace, but there was this fourth guy that came in there and walked around with us. I want to see him again. Oh, hallelujah. I could hear Isaiah, you know, they may look at Isaiah and say, who are you looking for? I could see the old prophet rise up and say, I'm looking for the one called Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I could hear Zechariah say, I can't wait to see the one I called the Balm of Gilead. I want to see in person the one I saw in the vision riding in on the donkey. Amen. I want to see the one I saw pierced. Amen. Malachi, he didn't have to wait, even have to wait to be asked. He jumped up and said, I'm looking for the Son of Righteousness that will rise with healing in his wings. Joshua, who are you looking for? I am looking for the one that in the night before a great battle, this man appeared to me as Israel's commander. I was standing by Jericho when I saw a man with a sword drawn. I'm looking for that man to come again. I'm looking for the captain of the Lord's hosts. Woo! And then all of a sudden, Ernie, Jesus makes himself known and he says, I am he. I am everything. I am David's stone. I am Moses' rod. I am Judah's scepter. I am the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the Lord's host. I rule over all. I am Paul's handkerchief. And I am the one who is coming again. I am your healer. I am your deliverer. I am your peace. I am your mighty God. I am the one. I am the one. Come on, can you give him praise this morning? He is the Lord. Oh, somebody needs to praise him in this place. He is the Lord of hosts. And he is over all. He is all of it. You know, I've told you before, but I just got to tell you. I just got to tell you again, and I promise I'm going to close. You know, when they came to get Jesus, and I so love this thing, when they came to get Jesus in the garden. You guys, come on up. Musicians, come on up. We have altar call. When they came to get Jesus in the garden, and he was in complete control, because they said, you know, he said, "Who are you looking for?" You know, he took control. Do you understand that? The enemy came with a band of soldiers to get him, but he took control. Ernie, they couldn't do anything to him he didn't want them to do. He just couldn't. But I love when they said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And in the King James, and don't anybody fall out with me here, but you know, in the King James, it says, I am he, but the he is italicized, which means it was added by the interpreters. He said, I am. Could that be the same guy that talked to Moses? I am that I am. God said, let us. Jesus was there in the beginning, folks. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were created by Him. Without Him was not anything. All things were made by Him. Amen? It's Him. Somebody say it's Him. He's over everything, so He's over my problems.